young woman who was going the other way on an escalator. And I recognized her. And when she looked at me, I could tell that she saw something too. So I wrote to her through Catholic Charities. I wrote to her through Catholic Charities, and they forwarded my letter. And I just wanted to know how she was. I always kept my address current with Catholic Charities just in case she ever needed me. But she didn't. And she wrote back to me and said that if my dream for her was that she have so much love, be so well loved, it came true.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And she said, I've never really looked for you, but every time I'm out in public, I look at women's faces so I can see if I look like that person. And she said, I saw a woman on an escalator not long ago. And when I looked at her, I knew that that's what I would look like when I was her age.
How do you relate that to a level or facet of consciousness?
Well, it's because the seventh facet of consciousness, which I call living authentically, be authentic, is one where you really have experiences of extreme connectivity. And that can be, you can call it serendipitous or something like that, but you have those experiences, extreme connectivity.
I mean, there's a kind of a sense of awareness that it's the possibility, I would say.
Yeah. Yes. That is one of the reasons I would like people to understand this well enough that they can go ahead and take on the task of growing themselves into having these connectivity experiences in all of their areas of life. It just would be very helpful to also think in terms of connectivity to everything. It means that we don't do things to destroy.
Yes. I'm thinking of some of the questions that I thought were very good that you presented to us in your writings, like to ask ourselves, you know, what would I do if I chose to come from love rather than fear? I thought that was a very good question. Like, am I coming from love or am I coming from fear? Can you describe the differences between coming from love and coming from fear?
Well, one of the things, the way I think of love is we think of love already as something that is between two people, right? And love is so much more than that. So if we think of love, any choice from love is going to expand our world. Any choice from fear that we make is going to contract our world.
Why would we think that living in a more expansive state might be more beneficial on some level than living from a more constricted state?
Oh man, my mind is going in 50 directions, but I think probably one of the most important things that I've learned in this study is that in the first six facets of consciousness, and especially the smaller we are, our brain is functioning from beta brainwave primarily. Okay, beta is where the intellect is in charge, and the intellect is what we really believe in. We know that it's, quote, the best thing about us, right?
Right.
Okay. And that's the way we think in the first six facets of consciousness. It changes when we move into the seventh facet. I connect the facets of consciousness to these brainwaves because we can have pockets of alpha experience of alpha brainwave in the first six facets of consciousness, but they're pockets of experience. Once we're over the bridge, we're probably living from an alpha brainwave. And the reason it's a good thing to develop in us is because it is a more creative place inside of ourselves to live from. Beta will give us the same old solutions to every problem. We will repeat the same thoughts in our head. Even the same fears repeatedly happen in beta. Okay. And when we're living in alpha, from an alpha brainwave, what happens is everything changes. Our thoughts change. Fear is not much of an issue.
Yeah. Connectivity is happening in alpha. Intuition is easier to access in alpha. And recognizing synchronicities is easier in alpha. And I'm just wondering also what you talk about, and you talked about this earlier. You said it's an embodied sort of thing. And I loved that you emphasize that it's not, that this is, we're not talking about just a mental concept that we're just conceptualize. Okay, well, I should do alpha and I should be this or that or the other. But we're really embodying, and there's a coordination between our brain and our heart. It's important to have that connection, that between the coherence between the heart and the brain.
Life changes for the better as soon as we stop prioritizing or elevating the intellect and allow that intellect, whatever wisdom, whatever thoughts we have, to be channeled through the heart, because the heart is another brain. It's where our wisdom comes from.
True enough, true enough. And when you do that, talk about connectivity, you also talk about how we can experience all of life as sacred. And that goes to empathy and knowing that we are all interrelated in some way. Even if we understand the sacredness of life, we're also talking about the sacredness of all of life, and that sometimes there are unpleasant things that are happening, and not to just reject everything that doesn't feel good, but and going through these stages often doesn't feel good when we're really opening ourselves up to the love or empathy vibration rather than fear vibration. It's not easy, is it, Regina?
It can be so hard. Really, moving from one facet to another, expanding, is not easy. And now, let me just qualify that, because it's one of the reasons I hope people pick up the idea that they can develop themselves, because anytime we grow ourselves in general, it's because we've knocked up against something that no longer fits. It's too small, okay? And in general, if we're not in charge of that process or thinking about that process, it's something, a force from outside that impacts us and makes us have to do this painful movement. I'm hoping that people pick up the facets of consciousness and begin developing themselves, because it is easier, Justine.
Is it? Is it?
If we're developing ourselves on purpose through those.
Yes. Yes, rather than it forced upon us in some way. And I'm just thinking also when you talk about these facets and how we respond to them, how do we know when we're responding from just a knee-jerk, habitual way? How do we discern that? Because sometimes that's not easy to discern that. How do we know we're even doing it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And there are ways to develop our awareness in the moment. Chances are good if you're in the moment, aware of what you're doing. Chances are good you're over that bridge. You're over in 7, 8, maybe even 9.
I did it this week. I did it. I thought, okay, I'm really in the bigger expanse of consciousness, and I'm just doing great. And I went to resolve some issue about my storage unit, and I was helped by a young woman who was probably in her 20s, and she was one of the most unpleasant employees I've ever run across. She was just not fun to be with. And I reacted, I could feel that I reacted in a very different, difficult way. I was not in my expansive consciousness. And I remember just as I walked out of the place and I'm going to my car, I just said out loud, B-I-T-C-H, I just kind of said that to myself, whoa, and with a lot of kind of anger and frustration. And there I am. You know, we can go, it's not a smooth transition. We are constantly working on ourselves, and there are things like this young woman to remind me, and I need to be grateful for the reminder that, hey, I ain't cooked yet. I'm still on the path. I think that's what you really represent, that it's an ongoing thing.
It is an ongoing thing. One of the people who have read this book is the head of an organization, a business. Okay. And it really, really struck her, the facets of consciousness. It solved kind of a problem that she had in life. And one was that her clients are people who live from the sixth facet of consciousness. They are the heads of nonprofit organizations. Okay. She also works with their boards, who mostly are people who have to follow rules. They like following rules, and their business, they live inside of comply, the fourth facet, okay? Her organization has to, the people she has working for her, she wants to be able to go back and forth between, be able to communicate to both, okay, and value both. And she found her way to being able to do that when she could identify where a person was living from. Where are they expressing their lives from? And it helps her to then communicate, to understand where they're coming from. It helps her to remind herself where someone is. That whole story is to say, Justine, one of the things that really helps me, now I have to say that I react as well. I'm a human being, not a human perfect. But the thing is that each person that we encounter is living from the inside of a facet of consciousness. And if we can identify where that is, what happens is we feel an understanding, a compassion or empathy, even. Because obviously, if someone is that rude and unconscious, they probably having to put pieces of life together from one of the very smallest facets of consciousness.
When I was with her, I felt like she was inserting a kind of power, her power, that she had this power over me. And because she even said, well, if you don't comply with this, and I'm not going to even work with you anymore, and I'm just going to shut this down or something, you know, and very threatening. And I'm thinking, whoa, okay. And it felt like her need to control and be powerful. So I love it that you're helping me see she is from a very different presence of consciousness than I was. But I went to her level. I started to just be in that same place with her. It was easy to kind of fall back into that really fast. I was, because I'm not in my life around a lot of people who are functioning on that level or that facet of consciousness, to have any direct contact with someone like that. So let's talk about empathy. You know, what would you say as far as how we can develop more empathy in our lives and how we can start to really work from that level? You have a story, I think, about empathy, about your father when you were, I think, probably pretty young, and there was a hobo going through your garbage cans.
Yeah, I think I was very young, and my dad saw from the kitchen window that a hobo was going through the garbage can. And hobos, you know what a hobo is. Not everybody will, right?
Yeah. Well, he was, we would say unhoused, these days. Yeah.
So he was a guy who probably rode the rails. Mm-hmm. We lived about a block from a railroad track. And so we would get hobos walking through the alley from time to time looking for food. And my father saw him going through the garbage can, and he came outside and started running after him. And the guy, when he saw my father come out the door, he took off. But my dad kept yelling at him to stop. And he ran until he caught the hobo. And when Dad came back in the yard, I said, "Dad, did you catch him? And did you punish him for going through our garbage can?" That's how young I was, okay? That was my thought. And Dad said, no, Reggie, I ran after him because he was hungry. And I wanted to give him money. He gave the hobo $5. And back then, $5 was a lot of money. It was money my dad allotted to himself each week for his own spending money. So I know that's what got given away. I knew that. And it really opened my heart to a moment of extreme compassion.
Yes.
I got to experience that.
The experience of that, and what you're alluding to, is that how we notice the patterns in our lives, and they can be teachers. That's the tool that noticing is a tool to help us to live in a more expansive, connected way with life as sacred. So it would you say that that's valid as far as the way we are noticing is really important to notice these things and to not just react to them, or just like you and I are having this conversation right now about this incident I had this week, and I am learning something right now about how to be with something like this in the future to really allow myself to feel empathy with the facet in which this other person is living. And this is very helpful in all of the divisiveness that is happening in our culture today, here and now. So what would you say about these sorts of divisive conversations and incidences that we're having to go through right now in our culture?
It's part of course, why I feel like it's important for people to understand what facet of consciousness they're living in, primarily, and to grow themselves. Because what we've got on our hands in this country is a lot of people who just throw barbs at each other.
Are we not even speaking to each other? We're just like in our own little silos and we don't even interact with others because they're different from us, or and yeah, it's called othering, yeah.
And it is coming from, so the people who are doing that are coming from the shadow of the second facet of consciousness. They're very constricted in the way they're looking at anything. And here's what I think is helpful, Justine. I think it would be helpful if everyone simply noticed the thoughts that were going through their minds and stopped themselves when it's a thought that contributes nothing. When it's a critical thought about somebody else, to stop that thought in the moment and immediately think about something you're grateful for. Just stop the thought, stop the critical thought, close your eyes, and think about what am I grateful for? And just think of someone, something, some place, and feel that gratitude. What that would do is almost like a superpower, because what it would do is within a short amount of time, if we paid attention to those critical thoughts and stopped them and immediately found something to feel grateful for, it would stop our brains from doing that.
What I get, Regina, when you say that, I get we can prepare ourselves for those moments. Like in if we go in our meditation practice, and many of our listeners are definitely meditators, if we go to our meditation practice to actually feel and start to embody a moment in our life when we felt totally grateful. We were just so, there was so much love or something in our life that just took us there. So, I mean, if it was, I think you talk about when you first saw a sunset in Maui, that, it just like, just expanded your consciousness. So to have something prepared, at least to know that we can recall this at a moment's notice when we need it, and that to shift to that gratefulness. But it's embodied, it's in our bodies. So I just I Everything that you're saying is so great. I just thank you so much for helping us to see these different facets and how we can contribute to life and live in a more expansive way. I want to thank you so much, Regina, for being with us on New Dimensions. I've been speaking with Dr. Regina Leffers, and she is the author of What is Consciousness? And if you want to be in touch with her, you can go to her website, reginaleffers.com. And she spells her last name, L-E-F-F-E-R-S, reginaleffers.com. Or you can get there from the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3854.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the Donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions.
You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
This. It's late winter at Ding Darling National Wildlife Refuge on Sanibel Island, Florida. Many birds are finished nesting, and young birds are everywhere. This morning, wind and tide have conspired to strand schools of fish in backwater ditches, and the birds are taking advantage of it. It's a feeding frenzy. White birds, short and tall, line the banks of the ditch, barely a foot apart. Long beaks spear tiny fish, and sometimes jab at a neighbor. Snowy egrets, great egrets, white ibises, and a young little blue heron that's still white all feed at the water's edge. Meanwhile, two white pelicans patrol the center of the ditch, crisscrossing, flushing fish towards the birds on the bank. They grab gulps of water, shake their heads, and swallow. A momentary lull. Then a snowy egret takes off, dragging first beak and then feet in the water. Is it teasing fish to the surface? It's hard to tell, but the snowies take turns doing it, and the excitement begins again. Thanks to the National Wildlife Refuge System, these birds, and many others, can thrive in protected habitats. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein. Support comes from Wild Delight Bird Food, offering a variety of blends designed to mimic the natural resources wild birds crave. Available at Chewy.com.
Anya dreams of becoming the world's greatest chef. Max and Maria dream of skating for gold. Alex dreams of a life free of needles and pain. beyond the walls of a hospital room. Right now in Canada, more than 10,000 children are being treated for cancer, and one in five will not survive. When you support Childhood Cancer Canada, you help fund critical research and provide financial assistance to families in their fight. Give life to dreams beyond kids' cancer at livefordreams.ca.